Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our sermon this morning is from Psalm 46. Hear again these words. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Psalm 46 is one of the church's great hymns of faith. In fact, it is the psalm upon which Martin Luther based his own great hymn of faith, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." Now, to be sure, Psalm 46 speaks of God as being our rock of refuge and our source of strength during very difficult times. But this psalm also recounts God's history of faithfulness to his people. This is a faithfulness that is from age to age. Here is an example, a brief chapter in the story of God's faithfulness to his people. Remember this story from the Old Testament. The story takes place during the days of Hezekiah, the king of Judah, the days of Isaiah, the prophet of the Lord. The year was 701 B.C., and the people of Jerusalem faced a desperate situation. The Assyrian army had arrived before the gates of the city and was encamped around it. These invading Assyrians had been marching through Palestine, leaving destruction and desolation and death in their wake. They inflicted terrible punishments. They razed whole cities to the ground, horribly killing many of the inhabitants and hauling away the survivors into slavery. The Assyrians had already destroyed 46 cities and towns. And now they were determined to take Jerusalem. Well, the king of Judah, Hezekiah, prayed to God for deliverance. He asked God to save his people from the enemy, so that, as he prayed, all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. And the scriptures tell us that God heard Hezekiah's prayer. And then King Hezekiah gathered together the people of the city of Jerusalem, and he spoke words of encouragement to them. He told them, "Do not fear. Do not be discouraged before the king of Assyria and the vast army with him. The Lord our God is with us to help us and to fight our battles." And the people took confidence in these words and in their God. But yet perhaps the confidence of the people of Jerusalem was tested as they stood on the high walls of the city of Jerusalem and they looked out on the vast Assyrian army. It was a great army, more than 185,000 strong. Perhaps the people's confidence was tried when the Assyrians approached the walls and began to hurl insults at them. "Do not listen to your king," the Assyrians shouted. "Do not listen to your king when he tells you that your God will deliver you from our hands." The Assyrians cried defiantly, "Do not be deceived. No God of any nation or
any kingdom has ever been able to deliver his people from the hand of the Assyrians. Your God will not save you. Then Hezekiah the king and Isaiah the prophet prayed because of this. And they cried out to heaven. And that night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. Early the next morning, the people of Jerusalem stood on the high walls of the city, and they looked out and they beheld the works of the Lord. The people responded with thanks and praise to God, who was their refuge and their strength, their very present help in trouble. Their God had fought for them. The Lord of hosts was with them. The God of Jacob was their fortress. If you understand the difference between the statement, "Your God will not save you," and the statement, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." If you understand the difference between those two statements, then you understand something about Luther and the Reformation. At the forefront of the great struggle of the Reformation was a question that has concerned God's people for centuries. And the question is this: what kind of God do we have, and how does he deal with us? Martin Luther himself struggled with this question, the problem of what kind of God we have and how he deals with us. This question goes right to the heart of the Christian faith and life, and it is still very important for us today. In our commemoration of the Reformation this year, we remember that 500 years ago in 1517, a German monk named Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the castle church in Wittenberg, and he became a reformer. It is good for us to remember this event and to give thanks to God for what he accomplished through his servant, Martin Luther. But what is more important about the Reformation is not Martin Luther. What is most important about the Reformation is the message that Luther proclaimed. Luther the Reformer was a great man of faith, a pastor, a theologian, a churchman. But the message that he taught and preached is the focus of our attention today. His message is important because it is all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Luther proclaimed and defended the message of God's faithfulness to his people in Jesus Christ. But yet Luther struggled much before the message of God's love and faithfulness was clear to him. As a young man, Luther had entered the monastery with the hope of ensuring his own salvation by leading a righteous and a God-pleasing life. The monastery was a very good place to do this, and Luther was a very good monk. He would spend hours a day confessing his sins, praying, doing all kinds of good works, all in an effort to make himself worthy of God's love. Luther read and he meditated on the scriptures, and in them he sought to learn how to live the life that he believed God required of him, a life acceptable to God. But Luther had been taught in his theological studies that in order to receive salvation, that he must strive with all his might to obey God's law and live out the perfect righteousness or sinlessness that God required. But Luther had a very difficult time doing this. The more he tried, the more he realized that he could not keep God's law. He could not be perfectly obedient. He could not live up to God's righteous demands. In fact, He found that he could do nothing to earn God's favor. He could do nothing to make himself worthy of God's grace and his love. The law of God showed him, even his own conscience told him, that he was a sinner and he deserved God's righteous punishment. Well, no matter what he did, no matter how hard he tried, Luther could not make himself right with God. And this caused him to sink into the deepest despair. And then the devil showed up, and this was the worst of all. Luther said that the devil tormented him day and night, tempting him to believe that God would not show him any kindness or mercy. God has not loved you, Martin. The devil would taunt him. God has not loved you. You are too evil to be redeemed. Your God will not save you. Luther was tempted to doubt God's love. He was tempted to doubt God himself. The one thing that seemed certain to Luther was that God was a wrathful judge before whom he could stand only in fear and trembling. The church in Wittenberg had an old cemetery, and above the gateway entering the cemetery was a stone carving of Christ sitting on the judgment seat. Luther had seen this image many times, and it terrified him. For from one side of Christ's mouth extended a beautiful lily, symbolizing salvation and eternal life. But from the other side of Christ's mouth extended a sword, signifying death and eternal condemnation for sin. Luther looked at this image of Christ with great dread, because he believed, he was convinced, that when he stood before his Lord on the last day, that he would receive the sword, eternal death for sin. And in great anguish, Luther searched for comfort, for hope, for some kind of assurance that God would love him and be merciful to him. He was determined to find out how God would be gracious to him. He continued to pray and to read the Bible. And there, over time, he discovered the gospel. Luther had been reading Paul's letter to the Romans, and from this he began to understand that we are justified, we are right before God, not on the basis of what we do, but rather on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Luther saw that in the law, God does demand from us obedience and righteousness, but the scriptures also tell us that God provided his own Son. Jesus Christ is the one who is obedient and righteous in our place. In God's word, Luther found the beautiful, clear answer to the question with which he struggled so desperately. In Romans 3, he read that this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Later in life, Luther reported that when he read and finally grasped the meaning of these words, that he was altogether born again and entered paradise itself through open gates. It is understandable then that Martin Luther would find such great comfort in Psalm 46. Not only is God our refuge and strength against sin, death, and the power of the devil, but our God is a very present help in trouble. And by this, the psalmist means that through the ages, God has proved himself to be a help to those in need. More than that, our God is not a God who leaves his people to die in their sins. Our God is a God who saves his people from their sins. And he has done this by sending his son Jesus for us, God in the flesh. Jesus Christ, God with us, comes to help us. He comes to save the valiant one, God's own elect. The valiant one fights for us. There is no other God. By his sacrificial death on the cross, just beyond the walls of the city of Jerusalem, by his glorious resurrection on Easter morning, Christ won the victory for us. And no more can sin and death and the devil have any claim over us. No matter what we might experience in our lives, our faith may remain firm in the God who remains steadfast in his love and faithfulness. He is our refuge and our strength. This is the message at the heart of the Reformation. And it is a message not merely of 500 years, but it is a message for all times, in all places, for all people. This is the message that we are given, the message that we have the privilege of proclaiming to the world. This message is the focus of our mission and our mission work to the world. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are in the kingdom of God. We are the people of God, whose sins are forgiven, whose salvation is certain, whose life is in and with God eternally. Of this there is no doubt. Of this we may be certain. But yet, in spite of the fact that we are God's people, in spite of our salvation, we are still sinners in this life. And we still die in the flesh. But yet we die in Christ, and we will rise again with Christ, with a certain hope of the resurrection. Martin Luther once said that the kingdom of God is like a besieged city, surrounded on all sides by death. Each man has his place on the wall to defend, and no one can stand where another stands. But, Luther says, nothing prevents us from calling out words of comfort and encouragement to one another. Luther's image here is a somber one, but there is something to this. While we live in this life, we live in a city besieged, a city surrounded on every side by troubles, even death. And every person, each one of us, stands on the wall. We stand on the wall of the fortified city of God. Each of us in our own place, each of us in our own situation in life and in this world, and we stand on this wall looking out, facing these troubles and tribulations. But still, as Luther reminds us, we can call out words of comfort and encouragement to one another. So what might we call out? What do you say? What words of comfort and encouragement might we proclaim to one another and to the whole world? Well, remember the words of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. For the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.